This is the Giraffes Don't Eat Steak podcast, a show that brings you marketing stories, tips, hints, and much more. A treat for those who want to succeed in business or marketers who just want to learn.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Good. Very warm. Very sunny where I am today.
Great. It's not raining here today, so.
That's nice. That's a nice change. Gray skies.
I wonder if we shouldn't tell our listeners, because I was talking to a friend last night who said that he listens to our podcast every week. How I'm always shocked when someone says that. And he said he in one of our podcast episodes, we mentioned Colombia, but he wasn't sure. And then I was talking about the fact that you live there. But maybe we just haven't clearly said that to our listeners. That the reason we talk weather so often.
It's because we're living in two very different climates.
Yes. So yes, Alex, tell us a little bit about your Colombian adventure.
Yeah, well, so I'm living in Colombia.
And I got that wrong. It's Colombia. Not the one in the USA.
No.
Not that one.
And actually, if you walk around the markets around here, they have like tourist souvenir shops and things like that around here. They have t-shirts that says Colombia, not Colombia. Because the Colombians apparently find it very offensive when you say Colombia, or if you spell it with a U rather than the two O's. You can get those readily available here.
Well, so you need to get me one, because apparently the way I pronounce it makes people think you're living in the States.
Ah, no. So it's Colombia.
It's my accent, Colombia. Apparently. It's just like I've given people the wrong impression. I'm like, no, not that one. The one where there's gangsters and cocaine and that one.
I think they also have those in the States too.
Probably.
Definitely do, yeah. Yeah, so I'm here and currently enjoying some nice hot weather.
Brilliant.
We did have rain for the first time in 2 weeks, a couple of days ago, and it was very dramatic. When it rains here, it rains. As you probably know from in South Africa, the kind of rain that you get there is not the drizzle that goes on for days in the UK. It's like,
and then it's over.
It's over.
Which is lovely, exactly. Right?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Instead of 3 weeks of hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not nice this way. Because, you know, it's like, it gets it out of its system. It's like a little tantrum.
Little tantrum.
Yeah, it just gets it out of its system. And it's like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm good.
Well, what do I say? Pull the plaster. Just pull the plaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of taking off one hair at a time. That's exactly. The rain in the UK is one hair at a time, the plaster. And in South Africa and Colombia, it's rip it off.
Yeah. That is funny, though, that you still get shocked that people listen to the podcast. I think
I do.
Yeah.
And obviously, we had our new episode released this morning, and I posted it on LinkedIn. And last night, part of the conversation was, how do I have so many followers on LinkedIn, and how do I get to my audience? And so I thought, yeah, let's chat about that today, Alex. Let's talk about getting an audience on LinkedIn.
Well, let's just start with, what is the most important thing about growing your audience? Do you think you could have a guess? What is the most important thing? What do you need to understand?
Yeah. Who's your target market? Do you think that's it?
Yeah, that might be it. That might be it. But it's so important, because I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they said there's two schools of thought. One is that, you know, if I just build a huge pool of people, it doesn't really matter who they are, I build a huge pool of people and they're still following me, and it means I have the access to all these people, I'm going to be able to sell. And that was, apparently that's like the influencer model, where they go for volume rather than quality. but there are many, many studies around the influencer model that actually, so an interesting thing they said is something like the majority of, or more than half of influencers are earning, who are doing it as a full-time job, earning less than 30,000 a year, even though they may have like 1 million followers or something like that, which in terms of your reach, you should be earning more than that if mm-hmm. you're trying to sell products, or if you're using yourself as a brand ambassador or something like that. What's more important is building a pool of people who really fit your audience, fit within your price mark. You understand exactly their individual pain and their desire. And you're talking sort of repeatedly about that particular pain and outcome that you can help them solve. It doesn't really matter what the industry is, because it all has a similar structure like that. So whereas someone who may have the influencer model, you have 1 million followers, versus someone who has a, let's call it a profit model, smaller people, group of people, still a large group, say 20, 30,000, but of very specific people who are exactly your market and in the market to buy your product or service, you can be a lot more profitable than someone who has 1 million followers, which is less targeted.
Yeah, that's true of all marketing, right? So agree. Understanding your target market is important. It's interesting because I've got a large following on LinkedIn and mine's quite varied. And the reason is I have multiple different kinds of clients. So the target audience of my clients are quite different. So when I talk about them or I want to help promote them with my audience, I generally have most target audiences in my following. So I agree with you from a client perspective, but I'm trying to just unpack the fact that I have not followed that rule.
Yeah, but you still have people who need your service. So they may be completely different people, but they're united by the fact that they are in need of your services, your wisdom.
Anyway, and I've got, I mean, across my client base, I've got some clients who will not connect with anybody who is not an ideal client. So very narrow focus. And I don't think I'm quite there, because that there's target audience and then there's complementary people who have the same target audience. Because LinkedIn in particular, but most social media channels, work on a tiered system. So you've got first degree connections, so who you're connected to, but then their first degree connections, who are your second degree, also start seeing, you know, the reach is further. So an example would be for a lawyer to connect with an accountant who may not be the ideal customer for the lawyer, because he likes small businesses, for example, rather than bigger companies. But the accountant's clients are the ideal client of this lawyer. So connecting with the lawyer, with the accountant, gives him access to the next layer.
Yeah.
So it's not a allow everyone through the door scenario, but I think there's a middle ground of being strategic and just thinking a little bit further to the next level.
That is true. But you're still yeah. And the other thing, the other bit that I was listening to is actually quite interesting, is your audience has a big effect on your on the algorithm and how it rates your content.
Yeah,
because if you're, so the problem again with the influencer model is that if you're going for quantity, and if you're pushing content that doesn't relate to that person. Those people will not be engaging with your content.
Yeah.
And the system, the algorithm will say, okay, well, their content is not particularly relevant, which obviously scores you negatively. So I think that is quite an important thing to take into account when you are looking to build your audience to make profit, because you want them to be served your content by the algorithm consistently.
Absolutely agree with that. That I agree with. So how do you do this? I mean, when I work with especially small business owners, I suggest going and finding five a day, just because it needs to be part of your habit. You should be doing 50 a day, but you're not going to start with that. So start with a habit, five a day, build it to 10 a day. And that's where I started. What's it now, 4 years ago, when I went independent, started with five a day. And then at a point you'll get the switch where your target audience is finding you and they're inviting you instead of you chasing them. But you kind of have to start the momentum of every day going and searching for your ideal clients and inviting five a day. What do you think about that as a start?
That's a great start. I think that's, like, as I was saying, I think you can do up to 20 now, isn't it? Is it 20? Sometimes, I swear, sometimes it's not consistent. I'm convinced that sometimes when I'm adding connections, it feels like I could add them forever. But then some days LinkedIn says you've reached your daily limit. I'm not sure. Honestly, I feel like it depends on which side of the bed LinkedIn woke up on that day. But yeah, I completely agree. I think also if you have Sales Navigator, I think you can get a free one for a month or something. That's actually a really good, I mean, you can do it in the normal LinkedIn as well, but Sales Navigator does help quite a lot to find specific people to target.
You get a lot more fields to narrow down your search. What I love about Sales Navigator as well is you can put a remind, you can put little flags like new people who've just taken this job. And I mean, depending on your product and your offering, but like for insurance, it's like a no-brainer because any new person in a role, what's the first thing they do? They try and change everything that's been there, right? That's just normal. So when you get a flag going, someone's just got the new job, not the first week, give them a month to settle in. But then go, hey, I'm sure you're rethinking your whatever it is, or your insurance offering, or your marketing agency, or whatever it is, right? Because new people want to change stuff. So having this little flag from LinkedIn is awesome.
That's great. I love that little tip. That's an awesome one. That's really good, particularly for services and tools, particularly in like MarTech. Because you know what it's like in marketing. Everyone starts their new job and it's like, everything here is crap. No, actually, do you know what? I think the biggest one for that is web developers.
Websites,
Yeah,
yep.
website. I've never ever met a web developer who has come into a business or as a external and said, oh, I love your website, I love how it's built. They always say, this, I mean, the code is messy. The load time is awful, blah 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 blah. This, dreadful.
But I think you find that in a lot of jobs. Think lawyers who start in a new company, they're going to go, I've read those terms and conditions, but I'm not sure what they were thinking. I think I need to rewrite it. Anyone, right? It's just a normal human behavior. When you're stepping into a new role, you want to shine, right?
That's true.
And you want to
The
show some success in your first couple of months, right? You want to have some win. I mean, you wouldn't want to just go there and sit and twiddle your thumbs and do nothing. You have to show that you did something.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Humans, complicated things.
So there are this little flag on LinkedIn, which is a new role notification. It's a winner. But two ways is the there's the neural notification, but also following the old person, right? So if the if there was someone who you were working with and they were at company X and they've now moved to company Y, it's a high likelihood they're gonna bring you in. So keeping in touch, congratulations, great. When you're ready, it would be good to see how we could work to continue working together.
Exactly.
Yeah, so both ways, right?
Yeah. So
Because
far we've
that's also what happens, right? New people take their loyal suppliers with them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've all done it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Why start with an unknown when you've got something that works well? So far we have the old favorite, figure out who your target audience is. And we have add connections, the relevant connections based on your target audience. Start small if you know it, because it's laborious. Let's not say something that it's not because it's laborious. So maybe start with five a day, like you said, as just to build that habit and then build up as you kind of get more into it a little bit quicker, or you find someone to help you do it. Understand, and then also you need to be posting, right? Let's
Yeah.
be honest. There's no point in adding people and not having any content for them to consume. So regular, consistent posting, regular posting around. I think we also it's then also you need to understand what the problem is that you want to solve and stick with that rather than trying to solve a million problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, content we can talk about for another whole episode. But yes, you need content that engages your audience, or else I guess people don't really unfollow on LinkedIn. I mean, I do, but I usually do it when I'm feeling spammed. Like if someone's content is just like, ah, oh, there's just too much of it, and then I will just unfollow them, right? Because luckily LinkedIn doesn't tell people when they've been unfollowed. But
Yeah.
well, luckily and unluckily, because then you don't know if people are unfollowing you because your content is just too spammy.
Well, I mean, you can see in your statistics. You can't see specifically who did it, but also I saw a big drop in followers the other day, and I was like, what happened? It was probably about a month ago, and LinkedIn did a big clean of inactive accounts. I had no idea what it was. I didn't think there wasn't a message or anything from LinkedIn saying we're going to do that. Couldn't see anything. But yeah, I was like, what the hell is what's that? What's happened? What did I write? What did I do? What's so bad? And then I realized it was just inactive users that had been cleaned, which is good, I guess. Gives you a bit more of a real understanding. What do you think, doggy? There's a dog. For anyone who is not watching this, a dog has appeared.
Billy has come to join, and Arthur is chewing my feet. I'm having a great day today. I think I'm gonna write a story of the adventures of Arthur and Millie, and get James, my son, to illustrate it. It'll be good,
Nice.
because
I think I'll resort into illustrating.
they're very entertaining and frustrating. Right. Nope, Millie's not interested in LinkedIn and LinkedIn followers. And I mean, we're talking about Millie the dog, but remember one of our clients, they had that office dog, right? And we recommended that they use the office dog in their communications, and the office dog can be your part of your company profile and part of your posting. Yeah, just creates interest and intrigue if it's appropriate, but
Yeah, we just did that recently. The job title of the dog is the CWO, the Chief Wellness Officer.
oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Does he have a LinkedIn, or she does? Do they have a LinkedIn profile?
No, we just use it on the brand profile, and just occasionally come up with a few pieces of advice for wellness advice and things like that from from the CWO.
Oh, that's very cute. Love it. Right. Are we missing anything on building an audience on LinkedIn?
Well, I think we could talk for a while on some more of the nuances in this and the very specific items. But I think as a general rule, this is a good place to start with adding the right connections, regular posting, understanding who your audience is, what pain is, and post regularly around that. And don't try to confuse them with lots of different pains that you're solving, because then they're not sure if that's you're for them.
I think the other one, which is going to sound counterintuitive, but when you invite people, they don't have to accept, right? So I would schedule in, and I do this, I schedule in 20 minutes once a month to go and delete all the invitations that haven't been accepted, like in the last, month back. And the reason to do that is because when you have this whole pile, number one, you can't invite them again when they're in that invited list. So if you delete that in a month or two, you can invite them again. But number two, it clogs up. If LinkedIn, the theory is LinkedIn will see that you have all these people who didn't accept your invite. And at some point the AI could become intelligent going, well, maybe you're not that great if they don't accept your invitation. So yeah, that's just something I do is I just go and because I figure if someone hasn't accepted my invite after 30 days, they're probably not going to. So I just go and clean it all up, which means they can go back into my pool when I'm ready.
That's a good piece of advice. I like that. Show LinkedIn algorithm that you don't have any negativity around you. You'll
No
reduce.
negativity. I'm awesome.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I think that's a good starting place for people to start building the audiences.
Great.
Until next time.
Enjoy your Colombian sunshine, Alex.
The next time when we could talk about the weather again. Maybe it'll be raining here next time.
Maybe. I'm not going to hold my breath.
No.
Bye.
Bye. That wraps up this episode of Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found value in our discussion and got some new ideas to apply to your own business. Tune in next week for another round of marketing insights and inspiration. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next time on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak.